my words. These are your words. So come and send your word and let it heal our hearts. If there is anything plaguing your heart right now, any anxiety, any fears, and even in your body, if there's any sickness, if there's any ailment whatsoever, the word of God was sent to heal us, to heal our hearts and our minds. And if you just turn your attention to Jesus right now, I believe that no matter where you're at or what you're doing, God will comfort your heart. If you are anxious, I speak the peace of Jesus Christ to you. You have nothing to fear when you love the Lord. When you fear the Lord, you make Him bigger than all the other things in your life. Then all those other things, they have less of a threat on you. Just focus on Jesus right now, and He's going to heal your mind. He's going to heal emotions, different things that are just in pain right now. Heavenly Father, I lift up everyone that's listening. I lift them up to you, and I ask for your Holy Spirit to fill the room, fill their hearts, heal them, touch their minds, touch their physical bodies right now, and give strength and give life. Send your word and heal in Jesus' name. Oh, amen. Well, it is good to still be in church. It is good to turn our attention to the Word of God, and I'm excited to turn my attention to the Word of God. So thank you, worship team, for coming and submitting and worshiping together like this. This is awesome. We couldn't do it without you, and we're doing without a lot right now, so it's so nice to have you guys around. And, you know, some things never change. God never changes, and worshiping God never changes. The way we do it does. The methods of all of this stuff, it does. And I'm genuinely thankful for technology, because without it, I would feel disconnected from many people. I would feel separated from family who don't live near me or in this state. I'd also feel separate from a lot of you, my church family. And it's almost like Christmas when I accidentally run into somebody from a distance at, like, say, Walmart. You know, something like that. It's like, oh, look at that. Oh, look, we're together. No, not too close, but I love you from a distance. You know, and it's just, it's fun and it's refreshing to see faces. Hold on to the hope that this will not last forever. Amen. And it really will not last forever. But this is a wonderful opportunity. Coronavirus is not wonderful. The disruption to our economy and to our households and to our normal everything, none of that is wonderful. And believe me, God did not create all the chaos, the pandemonium, the sickness and disease. God did not do that. If we point to God, we can just probably look at the other fingers pointing right back at man. We did that. Sin and the fall of mankind, it is cursed and destroyed everything. And we still feel the effects of that. So there's disease, there's sin, there's chaos, and there's all kinds of junk. God didn't do that. But thank God that He made a plan to redeem us from the curse of all the sin we could ever experience. Thank God that He made a plan to overcome all the setbacks that we will experience, even this stuff we're going through right now. And, you know, my faith in Jesus is why I know I can overcome. And if I close my eyes in this life and I die, I know that I open my eyes and I'm in eternity and I'm with Jesus, my Lord and Savior. And that gives me victory. So do what you will to this old dirt bag, this old body, because the greater me, that spiritual me that's going to get a brand new body, you can't destroy that. It is going to live for eternity with God in heaven. And so I'm excited to preach this morning. And I told the worship team before we got started that I would love to preach out of Matthew chapter 6 and into Matthew chapter 7. But I challenge you, in your own devotion this week, go to chapter 6 of Matthew and read through it. The Sermon on the Mount. Read through how Jesus was preaching a very authoritative message, saying to everyone, stop going after what the world goes after. Stop going after all the things that we could go after. Instead, seek God. Love God. And he's going to take care of what you wear, what you eat, how you live, all those things. He cares for us. And in that same sermon in chapter 7, he gives parables and he talks about those that build their life on the sand or the rock. And those that build their life on the rock, they are not shaken by the storms that come in life. And he puts this little phrase in there, if you do what I say. And if you remember, in that same sermon, he said, seek me, run after me. And if you seek me with all your heart, God's going to take care of all these other things. And you will be like a house built on a solid rock. And I guarantee you, there are people all around us whose houses have been shaken. And it's really because they've maybe not been seeking God with all their heart. Maybe they've been seeking other things. And if that's you, right now, if you've turned onto Facebook or YouTube, if you know you are shaken to the core and fear's gripped your heart, it's really because you need to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So right now, whatever else is going on, just close your eyes and just reach out to God. In John's gospel, it says, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So in this moment, if you feel the shaking and it's hitting you in your soul, close your eyes, reach your hands towards heaven, and cry out to the one who made you. Say, Jesus, I haven't known you closely, but I want to know you now. And my world has been shaken and fallen apart, it seems. And I'm reaching out to you now. Have mercy on me according to your unfailing love, and blot out all of my sins and all of my transgressions, all of my mistakes, blot them all out. And I want to serve you with my whole heart. And so starting now, I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Come in and be the Lord of my heart. Pray this with me. I confess you as the Lord of my life. I believe that you, Jesus, came to this earth and died on that cross thousands of years ago for me, for my sins and my mistakes. And because I believe that, I also believe that you give me new life. And so, Lord, come in and make me brand new. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and make me brand new. And I will live for you, Lord. If you pray that prayer, if you reach out to the Lord right now, I know that he hears you and that you are transferred from this sense of death and condemnation and wrath and all this junk. You're passed right out of that. And whether you noticed it or not, something happened in the spirit realm. And all of the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. And I'm celebrating with you that Jesus has put his mark on you and you're his. And so now live for him. And really, it opens up right into what I want to talk about today. If you were to turn with me to John chapter 15, go ahead and do that right now. If you're at home and you don't have your Bible, go find your Bible. It's probably somewhere. Go find that Bible. If it's on your smart device, go ahead and open up your phone and go to YouVersion Bible app and open up John 15. And John 15, starting in verse 26 and then in verse 27, John 15 says this, when the helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. That's the helper. When the Spirit of truth comes, who proceeds forth from the Father, the Spirit of truth will testify about me. The me there is Jesus. He will testify about Jesus. And then he says, and you will testify also. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. The you there was not me, because I wasn't there when Jesus was preaching it. It was actually to all of his disciples that were following him. But you know what? I am a disciple now. So it is applicable to me. It is applicable to you. So when we read this scripture, John 15, verse 26 and 27, he says that the Holy Spirit is going to come, who Jesus is going to send, and when that Holy Spirit comes, he is going to testify of Jesus. And you and I are also going to testify of Jesus. I just can't help but think about what it is that the Holy Spirit does to bring attention to Jesus Christ. I know in my own life, There are times where things were unexplainable. People knew things about me that they couldn't know. In moments of my life, somebody felt the Holy Spirit speak to them, and they were like a vessel used by God, like his hands and feet, and they spoke to me words that if the Holy Spirit didn't speak through them to me, I wouldn't be here today. I'm not exaggerating that truth even in the slightest, because of people who were sensitive to the voice of God and the Holy Spirit spoke to them, God used them and it changed my life. And that's not just once in my life, but multiple times in my life, the Holy Spirit shows up and does awesome things in and through me. And it's just wonderful. In fact, I look in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 2, it makes a reference. It says, well, God also bore witness. He witnessed, he testified through signs and wonders and all kinds of various miracles by gifts from the Holy Spirit. Those gifts were those gifts of the Holy Spirit, like discerning of spirits, prophecy, words of wisdom, encouragement, all kinds of things to the body of Christ, to believers and to people around us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are wonderful tools, precious gifts from God for the purpose of lifting Jesus up. And it is exciting whenever you see signs and wonders and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I remember the first time that I saw a miracle. I was at my grandpa's summer camp and I broke my arm. Some people know this story because it's the first time I ever saw a dramatic miracle right in front of my eyes. Broke my arm, bone like this, wrapped in a towel, out in the country, and my grandpa with me and two other kids were thrown into a big hoopty. You know what I'm talking about? Big old hoopty, like one of those Lincoln town car kind of things from the 70s. And so we're thrown in that and then drove mile after mile, almost 30 minutes to the nearest hospital where they rush you in and they do the x-rays and make sure they do whatever is necessary to fix this broken bone from a camp activity. But in that time, the whole time we're driving, my grandpa was praying in the spirit, worshiping God and crying out to the Lord, God, do a miracle. Heal these kids, my grandson included. And then when we get to the hospital, even though the paramedic at the camp was there, saw it all, had this stuff, did all the triage there, so that when I get to the hospital, when they unwrap my arm, first of all, there's no blood, there's nothing there. And they unwrap the arm, the paramedic starts panicking. No, that's I saw it. This is what it was. And I'm going, wow, I'm stunned. And then they're doing this, taking x-rays, and I'm like, none of that hurts. You know, 35 minutes ago, that was a whole different story. There was something there, and it was hurting. And you know, as a young boy, I got to see a miracle. I got to see beyond that, I have seen signs and wonders. And all of it testifies to Jesus, not to me, not to anyone else. I mean, it's not about us. It lifts up God's power. Some of you today maybe have never even seen a miracle. You've never even heard the words of wisdom or prophecy where God speaks divine instructions or something that the Lord says, and it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt almost that God is real, he cares about us, and it makes you feel like all of this stuff in the Bible is true, isn't it? It's all true. If God could heal my arm, then what stretch of my imagination would it take for him to forgive all my sins? If he could heal my arm, couldn't he forgive my sins? You bet he can. In fact, Jesus said that very same thing in the New Testament. When all the people criticized him, he said, hey, what's easier? For me to say, pick up your bed and walk if you're lame, or to say, I forgive you of your sins? If God is really God, he could do all of that. There is no greater miracle than him forgiving our sins. And yet, sometimes we have more faith for something like that than we do even the miracle signs and wonders. As I talk about all of this, I think about the people that God has used in my life. When they pray, they get a prophecy, they get a word of knowledge, they get one of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Somebody speaks in another language, speaks in tongues that I don't understand, and then someone understands it and shares what the Lord is saying, and it means something to me. It changes maybe my heart, my whole disposition. It kind of freaks you out a little bit. Okay, so honestly, have you ever been in a church service where the Holy Spirit begins to move and suddenly the hairs on the back of your neck start standing up and it's almost your spidey sense is going and you're like, I don't know what's happening, but suddenly I'm a little afraid that somebody's going to find out all of my business. That somebody in this room is about to say, and you, young man, this is what the Lord says about you. And you'll be like, please don't tell everybody. Please don't even say anything about it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, that's really what the Holy Spirit does. He causes this sense of fear and awe so that we really do know. We feel it. We see it. We experience that Jesus is real. It lifts him up. And in those moments, that's when we say, turn to Jesus, the one who has all power and authority. And that's what the John 15 says. It's the Spirit of God is always going to lift up Jesus. We're in this series about lifting. The first week I talked about compassion and mercy. You gotta love people. You have to have the same love that Jesus has for us, for other people, if you're going to lift up Jesus. You got to love them. Show people mercy. Show them compassion. Show them kindness. And whenever we do that, it begins to draw attention to why you do it. Whenever you forgive someone, they go, why would you forgive me? And you say, well, because I've been forgiven. Whenever you show someone mercy, someone who doesn't deserve you to be kind to them or help them, but you show them mercy. And they go, why are you showing me mercy? I don't deserve that. You say, well, I didn't deserve mercy, but God gave me mercy. And how could I withhold mercy to you? I'm going to give you mercy. And when that happens, someone maybe melts a heart and they begin to cry because they see Jesus in you. You're lifting Jesus up because of your love and your compassion. So now this week, I'm shifting gears and I'm talking about the next letter in lift. Instead of love, now I'm going to I, and I'm talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's why I started with John 15, 26 and 7. Because without the Holy Spirit, you and I can't lift up Jesus. Even the love and mercy and all that, those are fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life. So even before that, I have to go to the one who gives us the power to produce that fruit. Galatians 5:22 says the fruits of the Spirit, right? The fruits of the Spirit, love. And it goes through all these wonderful fruits. I need the one that produces that fruit in my life. And I need to be filled with that Holy Spirit. And if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then God can use me. Now, the funny thing that started to hit me is this. In times that are crazy, a lot of us rely on our own talent and our own abilities to make it. And I don't think that's uncommon. I think if you are talented and if you have strong abilities, it is easy for you when things go weird or bad to go back to what you're comfortable with trusting in. For me, I have to walk away from trusting in my own strength and my own creativity or my own wisdom because I feel like, well, I can figure it out. I'm strong enough. But you know what? The Lord is wonderful at proving to me I am not smart enough. I am not strong enough to make it through all of the challenges I have in life. It forces me to stop relying on me, and it makes me rely on some other source for strength. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. And when it comes to witnessing, to lifting Jesus up, we can't trust in our own wisdom and gimmicks. We've got to learn to shift our trust to the power of the Holy Spirit. What this would look like would be the difference of a person who is a good salesman to a person who is walking it and talking it and living it. See, we've got good salesmen in our life, but if you're like me, I'm pretty jaded. You get the Amway guy that comes up and he's like, hey man, buy my soap. This is the greatest soap. And also, why don't you pledge this and you can make money too. Make money and have some good soap. I already glaze over and I'm like, I don't care. I really don't care. In fact, I never wash. And, you know, and I just kind of shut them down like that. And, okay, I do wash sometimes. But good salesmen, they actually irritate me. Sometimes they just irritate me. Why? They never take no for an answer. Hey, sir, as you're walking past the mall after they lift the restrictions, because you can't be there right now, but, you know, you're walking by the mall and say, sir, would you like to? And I'm like, no. They don't listen. They'll follow you. Now, seriously, it's a great deal. No, I don't care. It's going to be 50%. I don't care. You know, it's like, and they still want to push. You know, there are some Christians that are just simply good salesmen. And you know, they may see someone pray a prayer. They may say that they see someone come to church. But in all honesty, maybe they just sold them a religious form. Maybe they just sold them a membership at a church, something that makes them feel good. If the Holy Spirit isn't working through us, then whatever it is that we give them isn't God, it's us. And there are a lot of churches around the world who sell programs, who sell community, who sell connections, who streamline elements of the gospel. They have pantries and they have all these good things. They're not all bad. I mean, seriously, they're all good things. But if that's what salvation is, then that's all you get. You get a friend, you get a club, you get a coffee and a donut, you get a handshake, you get some helps. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have Jesus, then you are missing out on what I'm lifting up right now. I'm lifting up Jesus. And I can't do it in my own strength or in my great salesmanship. I've got to have a reliance on the Holy Spirit. And then the other thing that I see is some people see the power of the Holy Spirit and they want it. What I'm talking about, they go, oh, I want that. And part of the motivation for it is very personal, maybe even selfish. If you'd like, turn with me to a section of scripture in Acts. Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we have a short story about a man who was once a sorcerer, and he made his living doing like witchcrafty stuff. His name is Simon. And in chapter 8, starting in verse 9, we are reacquainted with Simon. It says, now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and was astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. This guy, we're going to stop right there for a second. Now think about it. If in this moment, while chaos is going, you meet somebody that gets words of wisdom, prophecies, words of understanding, they can work miracles, there's all these kinds of stuff, and it's God moving through them, I guarantee you there are people that will see that and go, oh man, I want that. And part of the draw is simply they want to be significant. And we do live in a culture where we're searching for significance, just like I believe Simon in the book of Acts was looking for something to make him significant. You know, we got a generation of young people crying out, desperate to find something to make them significant. Maybe it's not their talents, maybe it's not their achievements, but maybe it comes down to they can work miracles, signs, and wonders. And so you get a young generation that can flock around someone that will give them a formula or give them a phrase or give them a special trick scripture or surround them with other young people and they work themselves up into a frizzy, almost saying, God is doing this, God is, you know what? A lot of that's just emotional hype. It's really not the Spirit of God. It's a lot of people looking for social significance. So they do all kinds of things and they stir it up. I've seen it in the world. I've seen it in the church. There's really this, they have some very similar traits. And so in this story with Simon, what we see is he really comes face to face with a question that I want you to answer. Who's using who? When it comes to lifting up God, who is using who? Are you using God or is God using you? Simon in chapter 8 said, oh, I see God. He is powerful. He can do some cool things. God, I want to use you. I want to use you in my life. I love you, Lord. I want to use you. He was wrong. And so in verse 13 of Acts chapter 8, even Simon himself believed. And after he was baptized, he continued on with Philip, who is one of these disciples of Christ. And as he observed the signs and the wonders, the great things taking place as Jesus was being just witnessed about, he was just amazed. In verse 18, skip down. When Simon saw that the Spirit of God was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he actually offered them money. He's like, oh, I love everything. I love all this God stuff. I want it. Here's some money. I want what you've got. I want to do it. And then in 24, it says, but Simon answered and said, this is Simon Peter. And he said, pray to the Lord, pray to the Lord for me yourself so that nothing of what you have just said will come upon me. What he was just told was this. He says, let you and all of your intentions just die. Let them all just die. You better pray that God forgive you for your evil motives. And he goes, okay, I'm sorry. Take away all that reason I was asking for the Spirit of God. I want to have all of that erased. And you know, I think some of us today, we have to come to the same place and say, ask ourselves, who's using who? God, do I want you in my life so I can use you? Have you come to Jesus today searching for power so that you could use it for your own purposes? Do you want the Holy Spirit to help you because you need him to help you? Or are you at the place where you said, God, I'm coming to you broken, but it is not about me. I don't even care what you do for me. I want you so that I can lift you up. That's the difference, and that's the heart change that I'm praying happened in Simon's life. I don't know if it did, but I know that that needs to happen in some of our lives. The reason I say this is because in my first message, I pointed out that over half of Christians, people who profess Christ, they say evangelism is no longer good. They actually believe it's wrong. 47% said it's wrong. That's serious. What that means is we're not only saying that lifting Jesus up is no longer appropriate, we're actually further from knowing what I'm talking about today, that if you are thinking you're going to lift up God, how many of those that are left are witnessing and trying to just gain personal significance? How many of the people that are still evangelizing, are they truly surrendering their lives to Jesus and saying, Holy Spirit, move through me. Lift up Jesus in my life. Because that's where we've got to get to. And the reason it's important is because if people don't see Jesus, they will die in their sins and they will spend eternity apart from God. And I don't know if that stirs you, but it should. It should. And more than anything, I believe that right now is the perfect time for God to use you. To use you right where you're at. Maybe with the neighbor, or when you are going to get groceries, or the one roll of toilet paper left in the state. So I know some of us heard this whole thing about the power of the Holy Spirit and think, I need a miracle, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, I need a miracle. I'm going to take this roll of toilet paper. Would you multiply it, please? Jesus, multiply this toilet paper. I don't know if that would really happen, but if that's what you think you want the Holy Spirit for, to do miracles, you're missing the point. It should be used to lift up Jesus and let Jesus use you. And, there's this man who's gone before us. His name is David Duplessis. He was used cross denominations. He was used all over the world to bring about wonderful moves of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit was poured out on individuals. And he said this in a whole sermon series towards pastors. He said, gentlemen, it is not a question of seeking the gifts of God, but rather us receiving the gift giver. He said, we've got to be more in focus and in tune with receiving Jesus and a relationship with Jesus, knowing Jesus, because it is on that relationship we begin to come into alignment with his purposes and wills, and then the gifts flow naturally. I almost think that if we are to have this heart change, we have to have a moment of humility. If we're going to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit afresh in our lives, we have to be humbled. I want to just give us an opportunity to look real quick over the types of people God uses. If I am right in saying that God wants to use you to lift up Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, do you know one of the prerequisites is the humility? The humility that I want to talk about. He handpicks people like Moses. Moses was called in the Bible as the meekest man on earth. If it's not that, he uses people like David of the Old Testament. David, who became one of the most significant kings in Hebrew history. But David was the youngest and the least in his family. They didn't even call him in from the field as a consideration for king. Samuel, the prophet who anointed the king, didn't think about him as king material. His own father didn't think about him as king material because he was meek or humble. And then you look on to the 12 apostles. You switch gears and go into the New Testament. Do you realize that the 12 apostles that God handpicked, many of them were really unlearned fishermen. And those that weren't of the trade of the fishermen, they were still unschooled in Jewish synagogue culture and the scriptures. They were unskilled, unlearned. Basically, they were the riffraff of society, and God handpicked them by name. He even picked those that were, they had some money, but they were the black sheep of the community, tax collectors. He picked those that nobody would listen to or even like. And then I look at one of the most significant people in Scripture, Paul. Paul, who wrote the largest part of the New Testament. Paul was a persecutor of the church, and he was highly educated, but he couldn't lift up Jesus in that state. All of his wisdom and his education, his eloquence and everything, did nothing to lift up Jesus. That was all his good salesmanship. He needed to be humbled, and I think it's ironic that we see his story. He was going to persecute believers, and God's Spirit knocks him off of his ride, knocks him off of his donkey. He falls to the ground. He's blinded. He loses his eyesight for multiple days until God heals him. And that humbling process prepared him to be used in a mighty way of the Holy Spirit. And when I say he was used in a mighty way of the Holy Spirit, he knew it was not because of his eloquence or his own natural talents and abilities. I know this because in one of his letters, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So you can look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He says, when I came to you, when I came to the people in this town, Corinth, I came to you and I didn't use eloquence of speech or superior wisdom. I proclaimed the testimony of God. And I resolved this, to not know anything while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness. I came to you in fear and with much trembling, and my message and my preaching, they weren't even wise and they didn't even have persuasive words. But what I did have was a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith would not rest on man and on man's wisdom, but instead your faith would rest on God. Man, I look at that and I almost think, Lord, if you humbled Paul to use him to lift up you by the power of the Holy Spirit, what are you doing right now in our lives? I want you to take a second and think with me. Could what we're experiencing right now be a divine opportunity for God to humble us? Could what we're experiencing right now in the world, in our city, in our homes, could God be using this to bring humility? I think God is awesome and He uses everything for His purposes. I really do believe that. I believe that He takes even the worst of situations and can use them to turn it around to work about what He wants in your life and even through your life. I know that in the history of Israel, they looked at their time in the desert, because the Israelites spent some time wandering in the desert and it was miserable for them. And God told them in Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5, He says, I humbled you. I humbled you in the desert experience. And the reason was so that I could know what was in your heart and to know if you would keep my commands. You know, right now, some people's lives are shaken, and what it is doing, it is revealing if they really love Jesus or not. It's revealing if they rest or rely on their job for their supply, if they rest on the comforts of their world or whatever else they might rest on. It is humbling people. I bet you right now, somewhere in this city, there is someone who is going, I just don't know what my life is going to be like. I don't know anything anymore. And then what they're doing is they're crumbling. And that looks like coming to your knees and just going, I surrender, I surrender. And it reveals what's in our hearts. And right now, have you seen something in you? In this time, have you seen fears you didn't know you have? Anxieties you didn't know you have? What about weird emotions and attitudes? Are they creeping up? Are you seeing yourself run to Jesus and to His Word unlike you've ever done before? Are you running to be more of His hands and feet? Or are you more self-focused and centered than any time ever before in your life? I bet you this is humbling you and kind of revealing what your real heart is. I know in my own heart, whenever I go through difficulty, it seems to make things clearer. And in this moment, I am very clear. I want more of Jesus. I don't need anything else. I really don't need anything else. I need more of Jesus, and I need His Holy Spirit in my life. And it's not for selfish purposes. It's because I can't live without Him, and I really want to surrender afresh to Him. I don't want to do church the way I want to do church. I'm just going to let Him use me. If He wants to use me to do what we're doing right now, God, just use me. It's not my life. If nothing ever goes back to the way it was, you know what? It doesn't matter to me because my life is His. Whatever He wants to do with me, He can move me around the world. He can change anything in my life because I am His. He is not mine. I'm His. He does what He wants with me. And so that means with my family, with my friends, I need to give all rights up, all sense of privilege and ownership, and let the Holy Spirit use me. I've got to say, I give. I surrender. I don't care what I'm going after. I give it all to You, Lord. Do what You want to do through me. And in that place, I believe that there is humility, and that is the position where you get low. It's almost like a lake basin that's got no water in it. It's like a dugout hole in the ground. And in my heart and in this world, I want to be like that. I want Ben. Ben has to be this empty vessel, this empty holder for the Holy Spirit right now. And when I get humble, I believe that's when God says, oh, I want to pour in my Holy Spirit to you. And when He does that, that's when people all around me begin to see the water, the Holy Spirit. And my action steps for this is I think everyone that loves Jesus needs to reflect on what's going on and humble themselves afresh today. If you're listening to me, today is the day. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. Give up your rights of tomorrow and your demands and what you want to use God for, and instead, in an honest confession, say, Jesus, I want You to use me. Forgive me for trying to dictate to You how You're going to use me. You know, when our heart begins to change, our prayers become more effective and powerful. I do believe this. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, we don't get what we ask for because we ask with the wrong motives. That's a heart condition. You know, I want to see God lifted up. And that means, if I really want to see God lifted up, He will use whatever it takes to draw attention to Him. He will use prophecy. He will use words of wisdom and knowledge. He will use miracles, signs, and wonders. But none of those things will happen in my life if I don't surrender this to Him and say, you can use these hands for it. You can use this mouth for prayer. And when I give it to him, then I believe I'm praying in accordance to his will. And whatever I'm praying, I believe God answers. And so empty yourself out and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to end this message right now with talking about how we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We've kind of touched on it, but it's this. There are simple steps to being filled with the Holy Spirit. First, you just repent, get right with the Lord. That's that humbling I'm talking about. Repent, get right with the Lord. And then also stir up your faith in what the Bible says. That when Jesus said in John chapter 15, when the Helper comes, which I'm going to send, Jesus said he was going to send it. Not just then, but he also prophesied it in Joel chapter 2. He fulfilled it in Acts. I mean, all throughout Scripture, Jesus' word has said the same kind of message. I am sending you the Holy Spirit. And that's a promise. And anyone who asks for those gifts that God says, you've got to stir up your faith right now that when God promises, he doesn't lie, he doesn't cheat you, he gives what he says he wants to give. Do you believe that right now? I mean, do you believe that God will fill you up if you've prepared your heart, humble your heart, just confess him as Lord and Savior, maybe surrender your pride or whatever fresh to him, and then just stir up your faith? That begins the next step, desire. Man, when you start to believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit is real for you right now, you begin to desire. You begin to whet your appetite and go, oh, I can have more of God? Oh, church, if you're sitting at home right now, can you imagine, just think for me, that God would use you to see miracles? You could pray for somebody, they'd be healed. Blind eyes opened, tumors fall right out of people's heads or right off their bodies. You could see that. And not just that, but so many more. You could be someone, you could be just having your regular day, and God will drop a message right in your mind where you will be like reading a newspaper. You'll have all the details about someone you've never met before, and you'll turn to them and say, hey, your name is, you know, Mark, and this is what I'm seeing, and this is you. And you will see their face just freak out, and you will go, that's the word of the Lord to you because he loves you. And you'll begin to lift up Jesus because of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Those are wonderful things. And I ask you to stir up then desire. That's when it just comes to the moment where you pray. You know, knock, pray, ask. Matthew 7, 6, all that stuff. Matthew 7, going through 6 all the way through 11, just start praying. Okay, Heavenly Father, I ask you now, give me that Holy Spirit. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Ask, and then you start waiting for it, and just ask and wait for it, and then step out in faith. Maybe right now in your room, you're stirred up, and you're like, I've never felt the Holy Spirit fill me up. I've never felt the Holy Spirit move in my life. And up until now, you'd be like, okay, I agree. Well, now I challenge you. Just agreeing with what I'm saying is not enough. You've got to act on it. Faith is what is required right now. Mix everything I just said, repentance, humbling your heart before the Lord. All of that is important. Going through this rest, believing the words of God and asking him and having that desire. Now you come to the, you got to act on it. And how that starts is you start praying. You start praying in another language. You start worshiping in another language. You start opening your heart and just responding spiritually to the Lord. The evidence, it is just imperative. The evidence in Scripture, whenever the Holy Spirit falls and is poured out, people show it. And they show it by speaking in tongues. They show it by words of prophecy and words of knowledge and other gifts of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit begin to flow in a mighty way. Some of you need to restore peace and gentleness, kindness, love, and all the fruits of the Spirit in your life and in your home. That doesn't come in your own efforts. That comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. You just got to ask and receive it and then step out in faith. Start worshiping the Lord today. Close the door on the world today. You have nowhere else to go, right? So close the door on the world and do these things. Heart preparation. Have faith in the Word of God. Start to stir up the desire for the Holy Spirit and then just ask and step out in faith. The things that take place after that are wonderful because I believe today is a new day just like the times in the book of Acts. It is right now where the Holy Spirit wants to lift up Jesus in our city and in our homes. More than any other time in my life, I just know it. The Holy Spirit is moving all over, wanting to work through each and every one of us. Will you just surrender to it? I want you to just close your eyes now as we close this service in prayer. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Heavenly Father. I ask you now to just invade the space of our homes, our offices, our kitchens, wherever we're at with our smartphones. Lord, in your presence right now, I'm asking you, God, purify our hearts. Humble us, Lord. We just surrender ourselves. And if we're wanting to use you for personal things or for selfish motivations, we reject that right now. God, forgive us for being so self-centered or proud. And we humble our hearts to you and we just say, God, we can't live without you. Instead of using you, Lord, we surrender ourselves and ask you to use us. I want to lift up my hands to you now and say, use these hands. Use my mouth. Use this body and every moment of my day for your purposes. I'm sorry for living for myself. I'm sorry for using you. Forgive me, God. And I ask you now to fill us afresh according to the promises of your scripture. You said you would pour out your spirit upon all flesh. You said that you would fill us up with your Holy Spirit to do the things that you have in your heart to do. And so in Jesus' name, hear our cry, hear our heart's prayer, and Holy Spirit, pour out rivers of your presence and your power in people's lives right where they're at right now in their living rooms. Lord, fill them up. Each and every one of these individuals, they're like water bottles that are empty now. Fill them up with your spirit, Lord. And I ask that you would be testified about, that you would be lifted up. Let signs and wonders, miracles, let the fruits of your Holy Spirit be so apparent in our lives. Let it go like a wildfire all around our homes. Everywhere we go, let it spread more than even a virus. Let it spread more rapidly than any disease we could ever imagine. Let this Holy Spirit that you fill us with, lift you up and spread more rapidly than fears and anxieties and all the other news that is flying around this world. Lord, let you be lifted up. I just ask this in Jesus' name. And I just get so excited. I just want to go evangelize or something. And I challenge you to step out in faith today, this week. Pray with someone. Love someone. Lift up Jesus because this is your time for you to be used. And with that, I just want to say amen. And God bless you guys. I'll see you tomorrow when we go for prayer and worship. And please don't hesitate to log in, share your prayer requests because we're going to lift those up right there in our live stream and agree with you in prayer that God would do miracles. You could share testimonies in those times and we'll spread the word. And with all that aside, God bless you. We'll see you soon. His name.